We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Alex Hurst, Charlotte Robson, Simon Campbell and Emile Franchi to talk to you about Newcastle United 1, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, Friday night at St James's Park. It doesn't get much better than that, as surely Newcastle United take a massive step towards Premier League safety. We're going to talk to you all about it. We're on Patreon, of course, £6.60 a month for lots more of these podcasts. Plus, it keeps this podcast free of charge for everyone. You also get these podcasts that we do for everyone without the adverts on Patreon. So come and join us. We're going to be absolutely buzzing all week about Newcastle United's fantastic victory against Wolves. It was a lovely night. It was a lovely night. Four home wins in a row. That's gone under the radar. Four home wins in a row. That's nice. People have said Wolves didn't have much to play for. Could have gone six with a win. Seems like a lot to play for me. But they came up against an inspired Newcastle United. Certainly defensively, anyway. They came up against a Newcastle United that put right the many wrongs of last Sunday. And we're going to talk about that today. But what a night. Charlotte, start off with you. Fantastic win for Newcastle United. How was your evening? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, just massive, wasn't it? We've said on this podcast a lot of times over the past, like, since the past two matches, obviously, that we haven't won them, and people have been a bit, ooh, are we really safe? We thought we were safe. Are we safe? We've said, yeah, we're safe. We're safe. It's fine. I don't know. Secretly, I was like, are we really fine? I'm not sure. But I think we are now. Like, I'm touching wood, but I think we are. I think last night's, it's just the turnaround from the Spurs game, it was like a performance of old, where we just lost our heads. We were not cohesive. We weren't in any kind of shape. We were all over the place. To 5 days later, to, like you say, like being in this defensive block that, like, Wolves just really couldn't deal with yesterday. And yes, they were missing a couple of their key players, but that doesn't matter. This is true, and that doesn't matter. Like, it's who's against who on the night, isn't it? And we were the better team, and it was scrappy at times and not entertaining to watch, actually, at a lot of times. But I think now we are going to be okay for the rest of the season, and I'm just so buzzing about it.
Lads, I don't know who wants to go first. We're safe, yes. Tell the listeners, tell them everything's going to be okay.
Shout it from the rooftop.
Of course we are. We were safe before the game started last night, in my opinion. I know that was just a bonus, getting that win. It's a bit of a sweetener for everyone to feel a bit more comfortable. But personally, I felt more comfortable than ever. Who did we beat? Southampton. I think Southampton, I was feeling the confidence to go away. And on that run of fixtures in particular, I felt we were all right. I even felt we were safe when we lost to Chelsea, just because of the performance that we put in. We used to say, if Newcastle can play like that against such and such, we'll be all right. We went and put in a shift against Wolves, much like the one that we put in against Chelsea, where we made it difficult for that team. Any team could have nicked it yesterday, but we just had that final bit of, I know it was a penalty, but that little bit of, I don't know, just slight bit more quality at the top that Wolves were lacking, because Fabio Silva is an awful striker. And I hope, well, if we ever go near him, just I'll stop supporting Newcastle.
Poor lad. Si, let's bring you in then. Same question, mate. Are you full of the joys of life? Are you buzzing this morning that Newcastle United are surely safe?
Yeah, of course. Like Emile, I thought the job was done weeks ago, to be perfectly honest, and not because we had enough points. We still even now need a couple more points on the board, but there's just no way in these last seven games, we're not going to get at least another win, at least another couple of draws. And I was confident before last night with the games we've got ahead, including the Wolves game, in hindsight. Foresight? You know what I mean. We'll do the job. And you know what? We've done it sooner than planned again. That's what happens with Eddie Howe. You think, actually, these next three games, we'll definitely get the points on the board. And he's done it already. We've beat Wolves. And I have full confidence that we'll get the next two home games, probably get three or four more points. And then that is job done. So mathematically, we're probably not safe yet, but we kind of are, because there's no way we're not going to then get more results in the next few games, because we're just good.
We are good. And like I said, it's four home wins in a row. The previous two home games against Manchester United and Watford, we should have won as well. So it could have been six home wins in a row. And that's the key phrase, home wins. You stay in this league if you're not a great side on your home form. Newcastle United, you know, when they play at home at least, barely look like conceding a chance. You know, Martin Dubravka's pulled off one save last night that might have been going wide anyway. Fabio Silva has a header he should do better on. That's it. That's the 90 minutes. There was nothing else there. And Eddie Howe just deserves all the credit in the world. We've talked about on the podcast before about how he came with a reputation for defensive fragility, and he's blown that out of the water. But to go from that second half at Spurs last week to be so certain after that game that the very next fixture he needed to see an immediate improvement defensively, and to get it is just, I love it, because it means when he says something, he means it. It's not just words. It's not just platitudes. It's not just get the interview over with. No, he sent a message to the fan base, to the players, to everyone watching. In the next fixture, we must be and we will be much better than we were. And we were. And that's the kind of nice thing about last night. Yes, you know, my kingdom for a second goal. Like, can we please just kill games? It would make my life so much nicer. But it's nice enough already because we won. But the fact that we won last night against a good team, you know, a lot of people have been disparaging Wolves' performance, and Wolves were poor, but it wasn't for lack of effort. I saw a lot of endeavour from Wolves. Bruno Lage on the sideline was going absolutely wild all game at his team, trying to get them to play down the flanks. Maybe a little bit more why they couldn't do that later. But we won against a good team. It was just kind of a now classic Newcastle United under Eddie Howe template victory. Defend very, very well. Take your chances when they come. But still, even though there weren't a lot of chances in the game, I thought Newcastle were the better side in that game right from the first minute. They dominated the first half without creating much, but dominated the first half. We're kind of better than Wolves at counter-attacking, you know, so despite not making lots of clear-cut chances, still posed a threat on the break regularly, and just defended better than Wolves, and I thought we fully deserved the win. You know, really weird caveat here. I was in a taxi on the way home last night, and people on TalkSport were talking about it not being a penalty. I've seen a little bit of that.
What?
Just
went
looks like the most blatant penalty I've ever seen. Chris Wood goes past the goalkeeper, who trips him up.
I think those penalties get given now. Like Harry Kane gets them all the time, but the ball's out of play by the time he gets fouled by the keeper. There is an argument for that, but yeah, like that's the rule now. Like basically,
it's about time we had a bit of luck going our way, to be fair. So I think
that's the thing. Right. I mean,
I was right over it by the Leasers corner, and it looked like a penalty.
Yeah,
it looked like a penalty to me. Maybe
if the ball goes out of play, that I don't even know if that is the rule, but it felt like that's probably the argument they're making. Yeah. So there's no way Chris Wood is getting to that ball that he's kicked away from the keeper and then just taking the hit. But you know,
could have been killed.
It was
an attempted murder.
I was saying a bet on the match. Why doesn't he just score? Like he's there. He's 1-1. He could have just slotted it past the keeper, who comes flying out far too fast. But you know, take the pen. He scored.
Take the pen and scored. He did. But yeah, back to Eddie Howe. Fantastic night. The defensive solidity of the side is just something to behold. Of course, we had it under the previous manager, but one, and Rafa Benitez. But it, you know, these players in this team, they can defend, and it makes me so much more positive about next season, because whatever happens, whoever we sign, we can defend, and it's a fantastic platform. And you look at a lot of the games we've won this season at home. There's only West Ham, Man City, and Spurs, I think, won at St James's Park this season. I don't think I'm missing anyone there. They're all three really good teams. Mm-hmm. You know, like everyone else, if Wolves are the best of the rest and we've beaten them, it makes you think that when Leicester come next week and Crystal Palace come, who are below Wolves in the league, we will beat them, or we have a good chance of beating them. And I feel like there's been a real talking up of the opposition. Before this game, people are like, oh, we'll never beat Wolves. Like, it was fairly comfortable.
Yeah.
It was fairly comfortable. And that's the really positive thing. Okay, we're going to move on to part two of the show after this. There's a little bit of Eddie Howe love. I'm sure there'll be more on this podcast and the many Patreon podcasts to come as well. So here are some advertisements for you all, and we'll be back after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Emil, talk to me about Bruno, please.
What a player we've got on our hands. I feel bad because everyone around me at the ground, me included, was saying, oh, you know, shouldn't be playing for us. Oh, I was like, well, technically now he should. But in a way, everyone was like, oh, class above. It's just amazing. And I think it was the real welcome party for Bruno at St. James's
first
Park.
Start.
We've seen, well, yeah, exactly. We've had the proper Bruno experience, the full job. Those who were lucky enough to go down to Southampton obviously saw that remarkable goal that he scored, but there was a few people saying, you know, it took him a while to settle into the game, settle into the tactics. Now he's very much into that team, and to see him come out at St. James's Park, what a moment for him. I guess there was a little bit of pressure on his shoulders, you know, after all the people who were saying he's got to start on Friday, and he did, and the ball just stuck to his foot. It was like every time he won the ball, he could take it on, he could take it past one, two, three players without having to do any real fancy movement. He just danced through them. And there's the quality that Newcastle United have to get used to now. I'm so impressed by that performance. He was trying to get a goal. There was that one that he just missed by a smidgen towards the end of the game at the Gallagher. It just went wide. He was pushing forward. I mean, he could have managed to get a centimetre on side to let Chris Wood get his first goal, but, you know, we'll let him off on that one. It was a wild set of the VAR lines that did see him offside for that, and I didn't even spot him, but his work rate was just unmatched. It was just incredible. He wanted Newcastle to win that game, and that he did.
I thought what was interesting about Bruno, or the whole midfield trio yesterday, was that first half, you kind of... When that team midfield three, you're kind of expecting Joe Linton to be the most advanced player of the three, but he wasn't. In fact, none of them were in the first half, and we were a bit hemmed in. I thought Bruno and Shelby were on top of each other quite a bit, and nobody was really kind of being the front of that three.
Yeah.
Second half, Bruno just took on that role. He basically took on the Joe Willock role and was making all those runs, and he was creating space, and he was moving the ball really quickly. And like you say, he was getting into some positions and creating chances and
good communication as well. He was speaking to everyone. I saw a lot of that, and that's pretty good for someone who knows not got the best English at the minute.
But if you just compare the three, just the pace at which Bruno plays is so different to the pace at which Joe Linton and Shelby play, that it feels like if Bruno's the future, he's going to have some different teammates at some point, because whilst I don't think Shelby played badly, I just they're not compatible. It doesn't seem to work. Shelby plays the game at such a slow pace,
yeah,
and Bruno's just like quick, you know, he's wanting to move quickly, he's wanting to find passes. Shelby's just like slow down. I'm gonna play the ball about 40 yards and get Maximan to pluck this out of the air. You know, it's just very different. It's weird to watch. And yeah, it was nice to see Joe Linton play with him properly as well,
yeah,
because we've not seen that much yet, and there's definitely some cohesion there. But again, just very different players. It's quite interesting to watch.
I think he's solidified his place as well now. I think that's it now. It's like the moment where you think Bruno has to start most of these games or every one of these games. I think you mentioned, Alex, about him wanting to have the 10-game run ahead of next season. That's Bruno there now. He needs to be the one that runs the show like he did.
I want to track it back to Eddie Howe again and say, like, another great decision from Eddie Howe not to just chuck him in the side, to give him those 5 minutes, you know, 20 minutes, to really develop him, to get him on board with what we're trying to do on the pitch, and then sort of unleash him. And to Si's point, you know, he came out after half time. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think Bruno was like, I think I'll play in a more advanced position now. I assume he was given that instruction at half time, and he took it and he went with it, and he can clearly take instruction extremely well. But I just think coaching staff have really taken their time and thought about this, and I really love the consideration, and I really love the amount of thought that's going into how we're setting up and how we're playing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Fantastic performance from Bruno. Interesting that Shelby point, Si. I noticed first half Shelby was getting very frustrated with Bruno, because normally when Shelby demands the ball from people, he gets it.
Yeah,
he wasn't getting it from Bruno. Bruno was like, there are other options other than passing you the ball, Jonjo, for you to get your head up and have a look what's going on. But I thought second half, like you have just said, it worked much better. The whole midfield worked better. It was clearly something that was said at half time. Joe Linton started the game quite sluggishly for him.
Yeah.
Gave the ball away a few times, didn't quite see him. And there was, you know, discussions about, you know, is he still injured at half time, and then second half he was kind of back to his best. And it's not often a player, like you said, Charlotte, can get a game for Brazil but not for Newcastle. But that is what Eddie Howe went with for the first couple of months, and I totally agree with you that performance yesterday and the maturity of it and the commanding nature of it was probably because he's been eased into the side. You know, Wolves did dispossess him a couple of times in the first half, and then he, like you say, it's like he just got even quicker. He's like, okay, I can't have 2, 3, 4 touches, and it just worked really, really well. I really like the fact that he doesn't do a Shelby, because he's so good, he could drop deep every time one of the two centre backs have the ball, because he knows he'll get it from them, but he doesn't want the ball in our half of the pitch. He wants the ball in a attacking part of the pitch where he can influence it.
And his attitude as well, I think the fact that his head doesn't drop when those situations happen, much like Joe Linton's game, you know, like, oh, you lose the ball, you're going to go back and get it. I know Shelby does that quite a lot, but when Shelby does it, he looks like he's literally busting a gut to go and get it. Bruno is like very focused, and he's like, right, okay, try that again. Same with, you know, Sam Maximan, the stuff that we've seen where he doesn't get his own way, and we see the hitting of the ground and the, like, oh, storming back. Bruno was just like very much about his business, and I think his attitude throughout this entire thing, when he's been starting for 5 minutes, he hasn't cared that he's not getting the games. He's just waited. He's waited patiently, and he's got his reward now. And when that moment came, he's really taken it.
He has. He's a big personality. I love it. He's a big personality.
Yeah, he's. I've been, you know, you see some of his stuff on Instagram and Twitter, and I think, are you a little bit arrogant? And then yesterday I was like, be as arrogant as you like. Yeah. Like, it's absolutely fine.
There's a fine line, confidence and arrogance, isn't there? And I'm sure he seems like a humble man. You know, he seems popular with teammates.
The message last night was really good from him. I thought he's put it all on there, and just really pleased.
Yeah, I mean, again, as I promised, little bits of Eddie Howe love. I saw today on Twitter from an account called Unify the Tune, if Eddie Howe had joined the club, he joined the club after 11 games, and I think we had, let me have a look, we had 5 points when he joined after 11 games. Even here, if he had joined on 0 points, we would still be 4 points clear of the relegation zone. That's a nice stat. I like that stat. That just proves that Eddie Howe has been a massive, massive upgrade on what came before. And let's remember when, after Eddie Howe's first game, which he couldn't attend against Brentford, we were bottom of the Premier League, before then going on to Arsenal and losing. So, you know, it's just an incredible turnaround. It just seems, the reason I brought that up is because this conversation about Bruno and his social media and all the things he's done just seems so far removed from those days, mm-hmm. from like Brighton away, Palace away, you know, Wolves away. It just seems ridiculous. And that's, it is
thing,
ridiculous.
Isn't it? The fact that it's the Wolves one, we were talking about it before the game, Alex, and I think that this, that whole transformation of that game and how you felt, that's become like the moment, hasn't it? I think.
Well, it was the lowest yeah. ebb, wasn't
it? The watershed, and then obviously to bookend it like
this. Look at us now. Beating Wolves comfortably so on a Friday night. Well.
Finally beating Wolves. Oh, it's amazing.
From one hero to another, say, or maybe not these days. Alistair Maximin, a difficult night once again. What did you make of what happened?
I might be getting this wrong, but he seems to be becoming a player that divides opinion. It might be a minority, but I felt like he was getting quite a bit of stick from certain areas of the crowd last night. And certainly if you look on social media before and after most games, he's getting some stick. And some of it seems to be about whether his heart's truly in it for Newcastle, and he's got all his other little side ventures going on. But leaving all that aside, in terms of his performance yesterday, I thought he was really, really hard done by, certainly in the first half. I thought him and Almiron weren't having much joy. We're trying to play them in down the channels and Wolves. This is a Wolves side, by the way, who outside of the top three have conceded less goals than anyone else. Only the top three have conceded less goals. You know, they're a very good defence. Willy Bolly just had Maximin in his pocket, certainly first half. Every time Maximin made a run, if he beat one man, Bolly was there to smash him off the ball. You know, he was really, really giving him a hard time. And if not, Connor Cody was there. You know, this is a really good defence that Maximin was basically our only outlet, and we were giving him the ball, and he was running and trying his best, but every time he cut inside, he was just set upon by about four or five Wolves defenders, and then inevitably, in those situations, he loses the ball, probably four times out of five, and the crowd get a bit frustrated with that, but then the one time he manages to burst through the five defenders, he creates a chance that Nelly gets as a goal, and it's like, well, that's what he's there for. He's going to lose the ball, he's going to get tackled. I didn't think he wasn't trying yesterday, I didn't think there was... He made some mistakes, and I think there was some decision-making, which has always been a part of his game he could improve on in terms of picking the right pass at the right time. But generally speaking, I thought he was excellent. I thought he really gave us a serious threat against the Wolves side, who just don't concede goals. And yeah, I just wanted to share a bit of love for the guy.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, isn't it, where you referenced the five players there. There were points in the first half when he was kind of being released to counter-attack, and there were five Wolves players yeah. near him. And he'd fuck up. And yeah. he wouldn't get close to beating one of them, and people would get frustrated. You know, he has that chance yesterday when the ball, Bruno actually plays a great ball back, and it's a little bit behind him, but he could take a touch if he wants, yeah. and he smashes it over the bar. At that point there, it could have gone one or two ways. People were frustrated, and there was a point maybe two or three minutes later when he gets the ball in front of the southeast corner, and it just either hits off his other leg or something, and it goes out for a throw-in. He's kind of the opposite of Bruno in terms of, they're very different players, but in terms of how they react on the pitch and show their emotions. So Bruno is very calm on the pitch, whereas Maximin, you know, he's kind of like, I don't want to call it childish, but it does seem a little bit kind of...
He's visibly like pissed off.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Very, yeah. very animated.
Very animated, yeah. yeah. yeah.
Petulant.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's throwing his arms up. He does a little jump on the spot. Like, and so you know what he thinks. You know where he is mentally in that moment. And there was a point yesterday, to go back to when he kicked the ball out of play in front of our own fans in the corner, where people started to sing his name. And I just thought that was incredibly important. I thought it could have gone the other way and he might have had to come off because it wasn't going his way. And then from that point, number one, he kind of clapped the crowd back. So it was a kind of mutual appreciation there and we're on the same level. Mm. And then the support from continued for the rest of the game. And then all of a sudden, he's much better. Yeah. And yeah. I believe it's his pass for the penalty, is it not?
To Joe Linton, who then puts in...
He put Joe Linton through, and then Joe Linton ran onto it, yeah.
Yeah. So that was really, really good. And that's just... I mean, let's talk about the atmosphere last night. I don't know if you want to talk about this, Emil or Charlotte. I mean, actually, Emil, first of all, you know, what was your experience of the treatment of ASM from where you were in the ground? Where were you in the ground?
It was very different in the Lasers' middle section. Not everyone, and I think I noticed it as well against Villa when I was sat in the Gallagher. Yes, okay, I've been getting tickets off everywhere. I think that there was a lot more fuck sakes and, you know, even more like frustration. Everything he did, like even if he, I mean, even I was guilty of it at times because there was a few occasions where he just ran across the box and he was running towards no one. And I know that he was maybe trying to do something. For me, it felt like Sam Maximan was putting too much pressure on himself last night. I think that he really wants, and we saw it when he put his post up saying, you know, but people forget what you've done or something along those lines. I mean, he's probably just got that personality, as we talk about, where he feels as though he wants to go and score to not shush the crowd, but put a few people back in their place. I might be, you know, judging what he's doing, but he looks desperate to get a goal. And I think that we saw that when he scored those goals against, you know, Southampton, when he got that equaliser and he marched himself into the crowd. I think he wants to feel that love again, and I think he needs that boost just for his own confidence. He's desperate to score, so we saw attempts to do that last night and try and get that second goal, when perhaps the easiest thing to do would just be, you know, keep the ball, you know, keep it simple, don't do anything wild so we lose the ball and send Wolves up the other end. But yeah, there wasn't as much encouragement. That's probably down to the fact that people weren't as close to the pitch, you know, when the Gallagher corner could see that. So yeah, mixed bag. And certainly a few of the people I spoke to afterwards were saying the same thing. Some people thought he had an amazing game. Some people were very quick to say, like, oh, you know, get him out the team type of thing. It was a very mixed response, which I think is just the nature of Sam Maximan at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny how the perception's so different across different people. I was going to pick him up on that 92nd minute when I just want to see out the game at that point. It's 1-0, we've got this in the bag, and he gets released down the left channel, and all he has to do is run in the corner and waste a minute, but instead he cuts inside again and has a tame shot at the keeper, and then they go and break the other way. It's like, how Ellen just...
Oh yeah, but sorry, give me that second goal, mate.
Yeah, I know, but
I'm so, it's kind of like, sick of it because we've been winning, but some of these fixtures where oh, please score a second goal.
Eddie Howe's probably telling them there, though, like, yeah, power Ellen, just see out the game, mate. Like,
it was interesting. I was thinking about what Eddie Howe said, particularly after that Watford game, when it was like, journalists said to him, you know, is the plan just to completely, like, retreat to the edge of your own box and shut up shop after we score? And he's just like, yeah, absolutely not. Yeah. Like, we want to win the game comfortably. And it did happen. Wolves got better after we scored, which didn't take much for them to do so because they were very poor before that. But we're just, you know, it's interesting to me because we are so solid defensively, ignoring Spurs. I'm going to say that for the rest of this, like 18 months now, we have to carry out that Spurs game.
There was no defence.
Yeah. But we're so solid defensively, and ASM just doesn't fit into that at all. Mm. Like, during the game yesterday, Joe Linton who plays on the left side of our midfield three, has to do a lot of ASM's defensive work as well as his own. And I just, you know, that's the thing. That, you know, the discussion this week has been, you know, linked with a £50 million move to Villa or Wolves or something like that. And you just, you know, that is going to be the interesting moving forward, is if this is an all-action workaholic side, and I want to talk about Chris Wood really briefly in a sec, but if that is the template for this side, where does ASM fit into that? Because he doesn't. He is not going to press opposition players effectively. He's not going to defend effectively. So you need all of that other stuff that he's capable of. And I think that's why people get so frustrated, because it's like, if you're not getting that attacking contribution, you are carrying an extra man.
The great quote from friend of the podcast, Craig Hope, was, what was it? He's a great player for a bad manager, terrible player for a good manager. I thought that kind of summed it up pretty much in what we've seen of Sam Maximan at Newcastle United. It'll be interesting to see if Sam Maximan scored, if he would run over to Howe in the same way that he did Bruce a few times, because it felt as though he was rewarding Bruce. Have a hug.
That's for all them days off he gave us.
Yeah, thank you very much for being nice to me. But given Howe said what he said about him being very much part of the plans, it would be interesting to see Sam Maximan's body language towards Howe, and see like... an interview with Sam Maximan afterwards.
Be so harsh if it's like really negative after Howe said all these nice things about him in the press.
He'll hug Tindall.
Yeah. It's just because he's got to.
Yeah.
There's no choice in that matter.
Demands it.
Just to move it on to another player then, we want to talk about Chris Wood yesterday. Lots and lots of people before the game, when I was talking to them about the match in the city of Newcastle upon Tyne through the day, you know, they were saying the centre-forward needs a goal. I think it was Norman on the last podcast said about Chris Wood, it wasn't even that he played badly, it was just he hardly played. The game just passed him by. He wasn't an active participant in that football match at Spurs. Now, I wasn't at Spurs, so you're relying on television, but he looked to me yesterday, being at the game, to have upped his work rate massively. Yeah. He really, really put a shift on. He was relentlessly closing players down, but not just kind of the half-arsed shifting across the pitch to close down an angle of a pass. No, sprinting at their centre-backs, relentlessly dropping back into midfield.
Yeah.
Second half, when after we scored, and ASM just basically didn't defend anymore and kind of maybe, well, probably definitely was a plan to leave him on the halfway line as a as an outlet. And to be fair, that outlet worked several times to get out of Wolves' pressure. Wood just dropped in as a left-sided midfielder and did the defensive work, Charlotte.
I was getting, like, towards the end when St. Max was just going on those mad runs for the last sort of 10, 15 minutes and just running the ball at the pitch. I was getting a little bit frustrated because he dropped so deep and he's not as fast as ASM. He just wasn't. There was ASM, it's these like really, really fun and exciting runs to watch. But when there's zero players anywhere near the box, it's like, okay, well now the ball's out of play. That was frustrating me a little bit. But you're right. He needed to kind of drop back and do that work. And he was working so hard yesterday. So.
Yeah, there's a perfect moment that frames that up as Maximan runs in, and for some reason he manages to get himself right to the right-hand side of the box. He just runs across the whole of the Wolves team and then smashes the hardest cross back across goal. And to be fair to Chris Wood, he's only about a yard off getting there, but he's had to cover so much ground to catch up with Maximan. And yeah, if he just plays it a slightly less ridiculously hard cross, which I think might have been a shot as well, possibly.
Yeah.
He did himself in by doing that run for the penalty, because I watched it back last night and I was like, God, he's actually really fast getting there. Like, he really wanted that. And I think especially after, you know, the cruelty of the VAR decision going against him, although it was just a tap-in, you know, you always say, it doesn't matter how that striker scores.
Is there a worse feeling in football these days than you've done your celebration of the goal, the players are about to kick off, and then on the screen, VAR check, and you're just like, fuck off.
Our screen's so slow, by the way.
Not to mention for the penalty as well, he stood there on the pen spot holding the football for like 4 minutes. It must be so hard to keep your cool that, and it's a great penalty, but yeah, poor bloke.
I will counter that with, yes, there is a worse feeling, and it was the two men in front of me, and I think someone put alcohol in their drinks because they did not understand that the goal was disallowed. they kept turning to me and being like, oh, we're not 1-0 up. And really? I was like, no, honey, like that was disallowed. And he was like, no, we're scored. I was
like, that's the type of Newcastle fan we've got now, just complete denial. We're definitely winning. We're 1-0 up before the game even starts. I just imagine Chris Wood, you know, when he took that ball into his hands, he was thinking, if I can score against New Caledonia, score against these.
Well, Emil, I was going to make this exact point. When he takes the penalty, the guy I was with at the match, Alan, I said to him, he's going down the middle here.
Yeah.
Why did I know he's going down the middle? Because when New Zealand posted that like all-time record goal scorer video, like there's lots of penalties in there and they're nearly all smashed down the middle.
They try to do us like that.
Yeah, the Wolves keeper obviously didn't watch it because I just thought like he's going to smash this down the middle and he did. But then as a goalkeeper, you can't really just stand still, can you? Because Tim Krull tried that against Mario Balotelli once and just looked stupid. Yeah. Man City away in 2011.
I do quite like the newfound support from the New Zealand Twitter account. They're very big on Chris Wood content. And like they put his interview up afterwards saying how great it was to see him score. And it's like we're getting a new generation of fans.
He interviews very well. He's a good speaker.
I like him a lot. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Me too. Me
he's
better.
He's like a sturdy Woody man, doesn't he?
We need better, but I like him a lot. You'll do for now. You'll do for now. But you know, let's see. I'm being harsh there. Let's see. His first home goal. He scored two goals now, which have contributed to 6 points for Newcastle United. So that's really important. So
he makes me think of that guy that Leicester had. I know that we're not necessarily going to go on and win the league, but if we continue the form, we're kind of going into a new season like they did when they did. And they had, was it Chiloa, who kind of came off the bench for them? Leandro Yoloa, it was like began with a U, and he was kind of like the guy who was
Ojoa.
Yeah, Ojoa, something like that. And he came on he came off for Vardy now and then, but he got a few goals. And I feel like Chris Wood maybe next season might be that type of player. Be like, right, stick him on for the final 10, lump it in, and then we'll get that goal that we need. Who knows?
From we'll Chris see. Wood to Emil Kraft. No. I have to apologise to Emil Kraft. Yes. I'm going to do it. I'm going to lead it.
Can you put music on post-production behind?
I could, but I won't. Okay. The Emil Kraft, I've said numerous times, is never going to be good enough. Just a bit like Joe Linton. Never going to be good enough to play in the Premier League. And I was wrong because I did not foresee Eddie Howe improving footballers beyond recognition in a very short space of time. So I'm sorry, Emil Kraft. I thought you were very good last night. I know, Si, you disagree a little bit. Maybe you can say that in a second. But I thought he just looks like a really good right back. And I don't know if he's getting lessons from Kieran Trippier. I don't know if he's... I don't know. But he's not perfect. He's still liable to get rinsed by a fast player. But he played well last night. And I'm a big Javier Manquillo fan. I think Emil Kraft is ahead of Manquillo now, in that I think there's no question of who starts against Leicester City.
Yeah, quickly to Ben and Mickey when he's here. This, you just laughed at me when I said Eddie Howe will improve Kraft as well. I was like, no, there's no way. Like, I don't disagree that he has improved significantly and now looks like a footballer, which he didn't before. I still think he's a weakness. I still think our right hand side was a weakness yesterday. I thought Miggy, for all his endeavour, just didn't do much, and his lack of end product and his lack of kind of cohesion with his teammates. As much as I like the guy, I just don't think he's not quite a Premier League player.
Well, that's interesting.
And with Kraft behind him, I just thought that the only joy Wolves had was coming down that side of our pitch, which most teams have obviously identified that as our weakness. That said, Wolves were limited to one shot on target, and then the first half, one blast over the bar at the Gallagher. You know, like, that's the sign of a good, solid defence, isn't it? And yeah, Kraft's good. We'll play four at the back now, so you can't expect your fullbacks to bomb on loads, but there were some opportunities yesterday where we were struggling, really struggling to find any gaps, any space. We had a lot of the ball, especially first half, and we just didn't know what to do with it. And Kraft had like 20, 30 yards of space in front of him. It's like, mate, just take a 10-yard run forward. You might not even get the ball, but take a player with you, make a bit of space, and he just doesn't seem to have the confidence to do that. But that said, you know, clean sheet. If you're in the back four and a clean sheet against a side who are knocking on the door of Europe, you've had a good game, haven't you?
I'd like to stick up for Miguel Amaron a little bit there. Before I do, actually, let's hammer him a little bit more, Sean, and let's bring him down, because you said you were gutted when he came on.
Yeah, no, I like, proven wrong basically, but because I love Ryan Fraser, right? So, and I think he's been mint, and I love watching him play. I love watching him scoot up the pitch and put in those crosses, and I was really excited when he was on the team sheet. And then I don't know what injury he's got. I don't know,
hamstring. So he's out. Okay. He's out now.
Right, definitely. Great. So when he went off and Almiron came on, I said, who's coming on? And my dad brings his binoculars, so he's like, binoculars out, and he's like, it's Almiron. And I was like, oh no, like, really good pace, you know, can run around, but he can lose, like, he just loses a ball, like, and I was just, nah, I wasn't excited about that. But he worked really hard yesterday, and he made some good passes. I thought he was quite good, and I was good when he came on, so I ate my words.
Apologies all around today.
Apologies all around. I thought he worked really hard, and I thought he worked in that structure that has clearly been drilled. I thought he did. He clearly was doing what he was told to do and doing it pretty well.
I think they had a really torrid time as well on that side. I think that was their number five. Is it Marcel? He was really, like, really good going forward. He was the one player I thought was going to do some damage. It was just as well that, you know, Wolves didn't have anything that could finish the game off. I think, just going back to Kraft, it's amazing what an international player can do when he's actually got a bit more confidence. You know, he came back from the Sweden game after getting the most viral clip ever with his Maradona turn. He's obviously, you know, fueled a bit of that into his system. But the fact that the Twitter account as well was saying good things about Kraft, that was good. I was really impressed with Miggy as well. I think he worked really hard to get towards Wood in the disallowed goal. I think he was instrumental in that bit. And although he did look a little bit, you know, shaky when he got the ball in those first few stages of coming on, obviously he didn't expect it.
He got a bit of support in that first, in the first few minutes. Maxi came over onto that side and worked with him for a little bit, which I wasn't expecting.
Miggy against Willy Bolly as well, by the way, it's a scary thing. It's like David and Goliath on the pitch. It's just like, he's so small.
David wins that. So
David wins,
so
exactly.
Right.
That's what I overcame him in the end. I was, oh God, honestly, I was so pleased to finally beat Willy Bolly. He's been that thorn in our side for so long when he fouled Dubravka and everything like that. I just want to point it out. But I'm really impressed with them. They had a very tough time, and you know, I'm all for more love for Emil in the world.
I think in Miggy's defence, he's not played many minutes this season, has he? He's spent a lot of time on the bench, and he didn't look probably like he had. What did he end up playing, like 75, 80 minutes? He was only about 50 minutes when he came on, wasn't it? He looked really leggy by half time, and I did say to Ben, I thought Murphy might have been a bit more effective here because there was space in behind Marcel and whoever was on the right-hand side, their two wing-backs, that we weren't exploiting. Maximan kept coming inside. Miggy kept coming inside to shoot on his left. And I thought, you know what? You kind of just want Murphy or someone to run in a straight line. Miggy's best...
Yeah, you'll do that,
Miggy's
Jacob.
Best stint... Yeah. Miggy's best stint for Newcastle was that front three with Rondon and Perez where it was just his raw pace that terrified defences. And we don't see enough of that anymore, of him just running really, really fast because he's meant to be our fastest player. Yeah. Or he certainly was when he signed. I haven't written him off. I just think maybe with a bit more game time, if he's got that opportunity now with Fraser being injured, he might improve again. But I don't know. I'm just not seeing enough about him to make me think there's a player there that takes us any further.
We've been speaking loads as well about, you know, these fringe players and how they're going to get used. Many articles on the True Faith website that you can read about it, which have been great, you know, pointing out that Almiron, it's going to be his time. You know, it's like if it's now or never if he's going to make an impact. And I would love to see it. It's one of those players who, much like Kraft, Miggy and Kraft in this matter, two players who I really wanted to see, you know, come out of that dark period of their times at Newcastle and really show that they're in this team effort that can provide that, you know, real strength in numbers. It's funny though, Alex, actually what you're saying about, like, you know, Joe Linton, Kraft, it's almost like they've been put into some sort of, like, care facility and like they're all coming out of it now and just Kieran Clark's left there at the window just waving at them saying, oh, I'll never improve, I'll see you,
I'm
see
sure
you
Kieran Clark would have improved under Howe, but yes, it's a good point. Just to finish on Miggy, I've no doubt that Newcastle would consider offers from in the summer if there were to be any come in. Having said that, if he is going to be here as a squad player, I'm pleased he came on ahead of Murphy. You know, Jacob Murphy seems like a nice man. He hits the post a lot and he can do things in the Premier League, but I just don't think he's at this level or the level we want to be. What I liked about Almiron is that he linked up with Bruno very nicely, and that just made me feel a bit like Bruno playing with better players makes you look better, and Almiron clearly has that ability to kind of one-touch pass. He's quite calm in the penalty area, Almiron, and I just feel like that relationship, so if Fraser is going to be out, that relationship could develop quite nicely. I also would like to see maybe Almiron play on the left, where he's left-footed player, and maybe ASM on the right. But for whatever reason, ASM just does not like playing on the right-hand side.
He switched
side
over at one point. Yeah. I thought they had, and he was in that corner.
He did,
like,
and it always lasts like 5 minutes, if that.
Stuff for how to think about, though. I'm sure he'll think of something.
Let's finish on just another great night at St. James's Park. This is the thing about us at the minute, and I've said it before on the podcast, that every game is an event. When we go away from home, you know, my last away game was West Ham. You turn up at the ground, there's loads of empty seats because the people who are coming in are getting in late. The game kind of starts, there's no atmosphere. You go to St. James's Park, whatever the fixture now, the ground is full at kickoff. It's full 5 minutes before kickoff. There's lots of flags all around the ground last night. That in itself is different to most Premier League grounds, if not all Premier League grounds. Well, it is different to all Premier League grounds because they're fully fan-funded. Unlike, you know, Watford have some flags and it's like Watford have paid for them and kind of imposed them on the fans, whereas, no, this is a fan-led thing. And the atmosphere is brilliant at kick-off and the game starts, and I don't know, I almost feel like who's going to beat where? Like, who's going to beat where at home? I just feel so invincible at the minute at home, and I'm sure it'll disappear as soon as we get beat next week or something, but we just don't concede chances. Like, think back to all the home games. And that Man City game that we played, we had fucking Matt Ritchie and Jacob Murphy playing fullback. Yeah. Like, not wing-back, fullback. Because we didn't have three centre-backs to play.
It really wasn't a 4-0 as well. Like,
yeah, it wasn't.
We scored four chances.
And it's like, I just think our home form, and that's the only game I was lost at home, our home form is so impressive. It's how if you're an opposition team, how are we going to beat these guys at home? It just seems like an impossible task.
Enter Liverpool.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? But that's the thing.
I can't wait for that now. It'd be great.
I was about to say, it would be lovely to enjoy those games because without the without the pressure of relegation or anything like that. So if we can remain unbeaten in the next two coming up in the next 10 days or so, which I think we will, you know, bring on Liverpool. What an occasion that will be.
So far in our Patreon podcast, Alex, that we did about the final 9 games, I think me and Ben are bang on so far of what we said. The loss against Tottenham and a win against Wolves.
That's what I said.
Was that what you said as well?
That's what I said.
I can't remember. I think I said, was it Ben said a draw?
Yeah, Ben said a draw.
All right.
Ben said, idiot.
Yeah, Ben.
How dare he doubt us?
We will finish things there before we abuse our fellow podcasters further. We'll do it off air. Thanks so much to you three for your time. Thanks everyone for listening to the True Faith podcast. We will be back definitely very Monday after the Leicester game. And we will speak to you all then. Looking forward to that. We're on Patreon, £6.60 a month. Would like it lots if you came and gave us a try. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.